May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 317. From heaven the sinning angels fell, and wrath and darkness chained them down. But man, vile man, forsook his bliss, and mercy lifts him to a crown. Hymn 317.
From God's word, we'll read the book of Genesis, chapter 14. The book of Genesis, the 14th chapter. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeba, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zor. All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chajoloma, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chajoloma and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephims in Ashtaroth, Carnaim and Uzuzims in Ham, and the Imims in Shavah, Kira, Phaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, and to Alperon, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Enmeshat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazan Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, and the king of Zoboam, and the king of Bela, the same as Zor. And they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar. 4 kings with 5. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Anah. And these were confederate with Abraham. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them, and Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, "Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself, And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Anor, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. The Lord bless the reading of his word and help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious Lord God, we bow in thy unseen presence again around thy word for worship. Do grant to us now that ability indeed to worship thee in spirit and in truth. For without thy spirit, Lord, it is impossible to worship thee. Give us now thy Holy Spirit's aid, that we may adore at thy feet. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies and kindnesses which bring us again into thy house. We thank thee for thy precious word which we have the privilege of reading. We ask that thou wouldst make it a blessing to us. And that thou wouldst feed our souls this day. Grant, Lord, that we may be hungry and thirsty to receive of thy hand this day. And may we know thy abundant blessing upon us. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst prepare our hearts to receive thy word. Make them good ground, we pray. Give to us, Lord, that faith mixed with hearing, that we may profit from thy word this day. We ask thee, Lord, to give us life in our souls. Give us ears to hear and then speak unto us the word of everlasting life. May we by faith receive Christ this day. May he be formed in our hearts the hope of glory. And may we know him as our Saviour and Lord. Bless thy word, shine upon it with light from heaven. Send down showers of blessing upon us, we pray. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come, and now honour thy word. And we pray, Lord, that those showers of blessing may flow here today and wherever thy people meet in our land and in the four corners of the world. Send down the rain of thy grace this day to soften hard hearts, to lift drooping spirits. to bring life, encouragement, growth, fruit. And send forth the Son of Righteousness to warm our hearts with heavenly love. Bless this people. Bless thy gospel as it is proclaimed here, service by service, week by week. And Lord, may it not be proclaimed in vain. We thank thee, Lord, for signs past that it has not been in vain. Grant, Lord, there may be signs today and in the coming days and weeks and months that thy presence abides here and thy Spirit still blesses and works through the preaching of thy word here. Bless each one found here and those absent listening. And we give thanks this day for thy mercy in the gift of a child. To Andrew and Rebecca, we thank thee for that life spared and that life given. And we pray, Lord, that that child may grow up to be thy child. And to be a true mother in Israel in thy time. Do abundantly bless that family, we pray. And do bless each one here, in their families and in the various pathways in life. Some, Lord, come into thy house with rejoicing and thankfulness. Some, Lord, perhaps come under a cloud of distress and trouble, and grief, and trial. Lord, we pray thy blessing upon each case. And may thy mercy suit thy word to each case before thee this day. To those, Lord, who are joyful, to those, Lord, who rejoice in what thou hast done for them, whether it be in providence or whether it be in their souls, grant them that spirit of true thankfulness, and may they have those praises that sound from their hearts as they meet for worship this day. To those, Lord, who come with trouble, with grief, may they prove thee to be the God of all comfort, the giver of all grace, the helper of the helpless, the deliverer of thy people in times of trouble. Grant thy divine direction to those who are seeking thy will to know what way to take in a particular pathway in life. Encourage the living this day and grant that growth in grace. Give life to those who are dead in sin. They today may for the first time call upon thee. And that those who are now total strangers to thee may not leave thy courts at the end of this day still in that condition. May they know what the hymn writer said, when I was to thee a stranger, wandering in forbidden ways, from the paths of sin and danger thou didst call me by thy grace. May those, Lord, who have been favoured to know thee, know more of thee and have a clearer view of thee this day through thy word. May they have that growth in grace, that more establishing in thy truth, that deepening of the work. Grant, Lord, that there may be fruit, and then may there be more fruit. Lord, may there be fruitful preaching and fruitful hearing this day. Bless thee, children, and early in life visit them with thy great salvation. And do supply their needs in the morning time of the journey of life. Be with them in school days, in university days. Grant them success as far as is right. Keep them in the sinful world. May they look unto thee. Early in life, teach them to pray, and may they receive answers to their prayers. And may they be favoured like Samuel, early to know the Lord. Help their parents and give them wisdom to bring them up in thy fear. May they pray for their children, and may they see answers of prayer for them. Bless those who are further on in life, those in the midst of life, with its busy scenes, with its cares, its concerns, its burdens, the hustle and bustle of life. Grant thy help in the noontime of life's journey, not to forget the one thing needful, and to put Christ first. Do supply their needs in business life and in their home lives. And then, Lord, remember those in the evening time of the journey, coming towards its end. Lord, may they be concerned and exercised to be made ready for their journey's end and for what follows. And Lord, when they and when we each must tread the verge of Jordan, bid our anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land us safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises may we ever give to thee. Lord, leave not one of us to spend a lifetime hearing thy word and gospel preached, and then at last to be numbered among the lost, who were privileged to hear thy word but never had the faith given to believe it, and perished in our sin. Lord, leave none of us to that terrible condition, we pray. Then, Lord, we pray for those who are bereaved. Pray for our friends at Luton who mourn the loss of John Kingham. We pray for his wife and family this day, that thou wouldst comfort their hearts and grant them to know the comfort that it is well with the one who they mourn. But, Lord, remember those who he has left behind. And do be a comfort to the widow, a father to the fatherless. And remember that cause of truth at Luton this day as they meet, mourning the loss of a loved member. Remember any other, Lord, who mourn the loss of loved ones. Some here, Lord, walk in sorrow's pathway. Do be with them. Do support them. Do help them. Do bring them through. Do carry them in thine arms. Do grant gracious additions in this church. We thank thee for what thou hast done here and in neighbouring causes. We pray that thou wouldst go on, thy mighty God, thy wonders to make known. For Lord, yet there is room. Draw by thy almighty love those whom thou hast saved, to tell of how Christ has been made very precious to them. Do add unto this congregation and the congregations in thy church, in this and other lands, those whom thou hast a purpose of mercy toward, those whom it is thy sovereign purpose to save. Cause thy voice to be heard and thy drawing power to be put forth, compelling them to come. Grant prosperity, we pray. Bring back, Lord, those who are backslidden in heart, known only to thee and to them, and those who are backslidden outwardly. Heal their backslidings and love them freely. And Lord, keep us each from that condition. And bring our wandering spirits back when we forsake thy ways. And lead us for thy mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. Bless this nation. Put thy fear in our rulers. Lord, we are saddened at the evident lack of fear of thy great name in government, in our parliament, in the national church, in the royal house. We ask thee, Lord, to have mercy and yet cause and to raise up in positions of power and authority thy people. Put them in paths of influence. And having raised them up, Lord, make them willing to speak. And may they be heard. May they be listened to. And may their influence be obeyed. Raise up a Daniel, we pray. And cause the tide of iniquity to be turned in this land. And a returning to thee and to thy ways. Grant, Lord, there may be wrestling prayer on this behalf among thy people. And then, Lord, help us to look for the answers too. Do grant thy blessing and help in the Sunday school this afternoon. Help the teachers as they teach. And may what they teach today be remembered. And may it abide in the hearts of those who hear. And may it influence them for the rest of their life's journey through. Prepare our hearts for thy table this night. May we sit down with thee and banquet with our head and eat and drink by faith. And behold the Lamb expiring for us. Help us now as we come to thy word of truth. Bless it to us, we pray. Let manna to our souls be given, the bread of life sent down from heaven. We ask and plead in the almighty and precious name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 892. Art thou by sin a captive led? Is sin thy daily grief? The man who break the serpent's head can bring thee sweet relief. Hymn 892.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 15, and the opening verse. First verse of the 15th chapter of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. Here we have the first fear not of the word of God. Given to Abraham. Given because he needed it. Because he was fearing. Because he was trembling. Because he was concerned. If he hadn't been, the Lord would not have said it. Here we have the father of the faithful. A giant in faith. And yet, subject to the same doubts and fears and discouragements as we are. That should be an encouragement this morning, poor trembling believer. Perhaps you have compared yourself to Abraham and realized just how little grace you have compared to him. But, beloved friend, if you have got a fear not from the Lord, you have a place in the Lord's heart just the same as Abraham did and does. After these things, the context, of course, is what we read of this morning when Abraham had rescued Lot after he had been taken in the battle of the kings. And Abraham had refused the king of Sodom's invitation to be rewarded. Here's the context. Perhaps Abraham was afraid and fearful that those kings whom he had defeated would now come and seek him and take retribution. He who had gone out so strongly in faith. Now is fearing. Beloved friends, we need the Lord to give us faith, but also to maintain it. And we can no more maintain great faith, or even little faith, unless God, who is the author of it, maintains it within. Perhaps the devil was telling him how unwise he had been to refuse to take the king of Sodom's gifts. Well, here is the Lord saying to Abraham, answering both causes for fear and discouragement. I am thy shield from all who may attack thee. I am thy great reward. That surpasses any reward that any human king can give, no matter how great that reward might be. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. And of course, in the very early days of the earth, the Lord used visions, because his word had not yet been written. These days it is rare. It does happen. But it is usual in our day and generation that the Lord speaks through his word and through the preaching of the gospel. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham. Before we come on to these words, just one brief word about this word unto. I looked it up this morning. Something made me, I don't know why. And it said that the emphasis on this word unto is that the word came very near to Abraham. It came right where he was when he needed it. What a precious word it is. Do you need an unto this morning? While the God of Abraham still lives, he still speaks. He still cares. He still understands. He still says, fear not. Fear not, brethren, joyful, stand on the borders of your land. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. And if he says fear not on the one hand and tells you to go on the other, you know you do not need to fear, no matter what may come. Because if God be for you, nothing can be against you. Nothing can overcome you. Nothing can destroy you. It doesn't mean it will not try. The devil will try. And you must not be surprised if the Lord gives you a fear not, if you then find you need it, because you will. If it is then tried, if it is then tested, he's given it you because you're now going to have to walk in it. You are going to have to prove it. You are going to have to plead it. And it is going to be one of the swords of the Spirit you are going to have to use in your fight as you battle Satan and the discouragements that he tries to bring. Fear not, Abraham. It could not come more closer, could it? He mentions him by name. Fear not. And if the Lord gives you a fear not, you can replace the word Abraham this morning with your name. It is the Lord speaking to you, personally, directly. Fear not. Fear not, because I know your pathway. I know how dark it is, how discouraging it is. How perplexing it is, how testing it is. How so much different it is from what you expected and from what you wanted. But fear not. Why? because I am thy God. Because I am over all. Because I am almighty, even in your pathway, peculiar to you, which perhaps seems so different and peculiar to any other pathway when you are comparing yourself to others. Don't compare yourself to others. It won't do you any good, and it will not make any difference. God has a pathway unique to each and every one of us. And you might be surprised if you exchanged places with the person who you this morning are perhaps envying. If you then realized just how difficult their pathway was too. But you didn't realize it. There's no such thing as perfect happiness here on earth. God has promised us one heaven, not two. And that being the case, every believer, without exception, is going to need our text. Because there will be fears in the way, there will be discouragements in the way, there will be opposition in the way, there will be sorrows in the way. You come this morning downcast. The Lord says, fear not. To you come discouraged, despondent, ready to give up. He says to you this morning, fear not. Don't give up. Go on. How do I go on, you say? I have no strength. And perhaps even this morning you're saying it's no use and you don't want to go on. This is how you're going to go on. Leaning upon the very God who this morning comes to you in your need and says, fear not. You've been trying to fight the battle alone. And how successful have you been? You come into the Lord's house defeated. Now the Lord says, now you'll see what I will do. This morning you may have an impossibility before you. Something perhaps you have longed for many years. And it seems impossible that it can ever come to pass. And you came into the Lord's house this morning saying, I am no longer going to pray about this particular thing. It's no good because I'm never given it. And I only get discouraged when I pray about it. This morning the Lord says to you, fear not. Pray on. And in God's good time, he will answer your prayer. He will either give you what you need, what you are asking for, Or he will give you the grace to live with and bear with the fact that he has said no. And that isn't easy sometimes, is it, when God says no? But beloved friends, God has a right to say no. And maybe you've been kicking. Ask God then to give you submission. This morning, to honestly and sincerely say, "Thy will be done." And then to walk in his will. And if he does not give you what you are asking for, and he may not, ask him to give you himself, because his presence is better than anything else. If he gives you himself, he gives you something that will never be taken from you. And if he, in his mercy, does seek to give you what you have long asked for, and it seems impossible it will be given, thank him for it. But remember, he who gives will one day take it from you. Because all the gifts we have in this life will one day be taken from us. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now he says, fear not. And then he gives two reasons why he says Abraham is not to fear. First of all, I am thy shield, and then thy exceeding great reward. Firstly, then, I am thy shield. And again, we come back to the fact that we have here an ever-present God, an ever-present friend, an ever-present help, an ever-present defense. I am. What a blessing. I am thy shield. What does it mean? What is a shield? It defends somebody in a battle. When they're under attack, when they're under opposition, fighting in hand-to-hand combat with enemy forces. It defends them from danger. It defends them from death. They depend on it for a successful outcome, in part. No soldier would have gone into battle without a shield. Or a sword. And for the believer, his sword and his shield is God himself. I am thy shield. Thy refuge. Thy defense. Thy help. Thy salvation. Of course, in the spiritual sense, it speaks of Christ himself. Christ himself standing between you, believer, and the almighty justice and anger of God. And taking that himself when he died at Calvary's cross. I am thy shield. What a precious shield is Jesus Christ. And beloved friend, if you're in our text, you're going to need that shield. If you are in our text, you are going to run to this shield. You are going to be given faith to trust this shield. I am thy shield. I am thy defense. I am thy refuge. It reminds me, when we think of that word, God is our refuge and strength. In Psalm 46, the word refuge there could be interpreted a fort or a castle. And the illustration, of course, was in Bible days and also in days in our own land, 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, the defense of the common people were these castles that were built. We can see them today, can't we? They are places of interest for us to go and admire and look round. But when they were built, they were much more than that for the people. They were their refuge, their defense, their shield. See, over 1,000 years ago, when before this nation was united, it was made up of many nations. What we now have is various counties. 1,000+ years ago, they were rival kingdoms, each with their own king, each with their own army. And they were ever seeking to get more territory. And so there was always battles going on in this land. And that was why these castles were built. And when they were under the threat of attack, the people would leave their homes. And they would go with their families and with their livestock. And they would flee to these castles. And they would reside within the walls until the danger was overpassed. And they relied on the walls to be a shield and a defense and a refuge for them. And they relied on the soldiers to defend those castles and to deliver them. And the very fact that they went to those castles was them showing their faith. Faith means trust. They wouldn't have gone there if they did not have the confidence that they would be safe there. Beloved friends, if you have faith in Christ, you will be brought to flee to him. It's one of the fruits. Because you'll need a refuge. You'll need a shelter. You'll need a defense. All the while we think we can save ourselves, we will not flee to this refuge. But when you're brought to what the hymn writer said, other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. then you'll be brought to flee to this refuge. You'll be brought to see your need of it. And you will come in humble prayer, and you will seek that the precious blood of Jesus Christ may have been shed for you, and the sufferings which he endured upon that cross may have been suffered for you. And you will desire him to say words like our text, words like, "I have suffered all for thee. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. And thy exceeding great reward." Then his righteousness is a shield. Maybe one of you this morning, you've been discouraged, you've been called by grace, you've been blessed. And yet, you are so discouraged because you see such a lack of fruit in your own life. So little grace, and you thought by now you'd have grown in grace. You thought by now that perhaps the power of sin would have faded a bit, but it hasn't, has it? Still as strong as ever. Well, beloved friends, your own righteousness is never going to be a shield for you. It's never going to be a comfort for you. It's never going to be good enough. And therefore, this morning, by faith, may you be enabled, instead of looking to your own righteousness, to look to the righteousness of Christ, the life of Christ, which he lived. That is a shield. And when the devil comes and tells you that you are unrighteous, tell him that, yes, that is true, but that your hope for heaven does not rest in your obedience, but in Christ's obedience. Satan will not have any response to that, because he knows that the righteousness of Christ has satisfied the demands that the law of God made. He knows that the blood of Jesus Christ does cleanse from all sin. And so this morning you can, by faith, believer, plead and use as a shield the blood and righteousness of Christ for you. That will be your comfort. Yes, ask God to give you more grace. Ask him to give you more faith, more fruit. We should never be satisfied with our lack of fruit. But remember where your hope for heaven lies. It lies in what Christ has done, not what you've done. I am thy shield. Perhaps you're going to need this as you encounter opposition in the world. You look how many of the Lord's people did have to encounter opposition. Jacob, how he needed the Lord as a shield against Esau. And against Laban. But he proved God to be his shield. You look how David needed a shield against Goliath, against King Saul, against his own son Absalom, against the lion and the bear. He would have fallen many times over had he not had a shield. But God fought on his behalf. And he was victorious. Believer, Christ is going to fight on your behalf too. You can't see yet how deliverance is going to come. But it will come. Because God has promised it. And it may come in a most unexpected way. And when you least expect it. And it will come like that, that you may give God all the glory and all the honor of your deliverance. I am thy shield. I am thy shield against sin. How often do we fall because we are not using the right weapons? If we go into battle and we use our own good intentions, is it any wonder we fall? Beloved friend, when you fall under temptation, go to God in prayer. Ask him to deliver you. Ask him to give you a love to him, which is greater than a love for sin. Ask him to use his almighty power to keep you from falling into the temptation which Satan is bringing. And if you have fallen, ask him to bring you back again. But don't play with temptation. That means don't go in the way which you know will lead into sin. If you play with temptation, it's no wonder if you fall. Keep as far away from sin and the way of temptation as you can. Seeking that the Lord will help you. You cannot expect the Lord to help you. If on the one hand you pray to be delivered from temptation and then you go in those paths which you know will lead you to be tempted to do wrong. And it is only the love of Christ and love to him that will keep you. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. At last he is the shield of even death itself. And if ever you are going to need, I am thy shield, it will be in the day of death. But in every path of deep distress, I am thy God, shall be thy stay. And as in life, so in death, you will prove him strong to save, mighty to save. You will prove him kind to hear. You will prove him able to deliver. You will prove him able to bring you safely through that tremendous hour of death. When we must come face to face with Almighty God upon that judgment throne. But child of God, This morning the Lord says to you, fear not death. Because God is on your side. And with God on your side, it must go well. With God on your side, there will be peace at last. No matter how much there may be disappointment and darkness in life, there is no disappointment. There are no thorns in the flesh. There are no scars in heaven. Be completely delivered from them all. I am thy shield. This shield will prove stronger than Satan in that day. Satan will not be able to touch you. It does not mean he will not necessarily be there, trying to frighten and discourage you. Some of the Lord's people have proved Satan very near them in the hour and article of death. And they've had to battle. Others have proved Satan completely banished. God is a sovereign in that. But, beloved friends, over every death of a believer, this word is written, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Here is the exceeding great reward, heaven at last. Here is the exceeding great reward, knowing Christ by faith here below. Knowing something of his love, of his kindness, of his compassion, of his sympathy, of his promise, of his presence. Knowing something of the greatness of his love, of his grace, of his mercy, of his truth. I am thy exceeding great reward. And notice again, it's present tense. Even believer, when you cannot feel it, true. That you have either a shield or an exceeding great reward, it is still true. It doesn't rely on your frames or your feelings. It relies on the faithfulness of God. And that is unchanging. That is what we rest on, the character of God. And unlike us, his character does not change because of circumstances or because of changing times. Whom once he loves them forever. And if he loves you, he will give you the fear not. It's one of the proofs of his love. He will give you these encouragements. Yes, it might not necessarily be in these exact words. But beloved friend, if you have proved these words true in the outworking of it, in your life, then God has spoken them to you in what he has already done for you. How many of you this morning can look by faith back in your life and realize, although he may not have said these words to you and spoken them to you in power, but yet he has fulfilled them in your life, and you can put tried and proved by this word, and it is yours. And you can rejoice, because this morning, great is your reward and your inheritance in heaven. Because a faithful, unchanging God views you with love, with kindness, with compassion. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So for the Lord's people this morning, take courage. Fear not. Be not downhearted. Be not discouraged. Stop looking at how strong Satan is and how weak you are. And instead look up to where your Jesus is. And where is he? In spite of all your fear this morning. In the midst of all your trouble, your distress, your discouragement, your loneliness, look up this morning and you will see Jesus on the throne, reigning on your behalf. He is just as much reigning now as he was in the yesterday of your life when he visited you and said, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Therefore, you have no need to fear, because you have an almighty refuge and an almighty friend. But I cannot sit down without reminding you that this is only a word for the Lord's people. If you are a stranger to him, if you know nothing of God and his love, if you have no desire to know his ways, if you are loving the way of sin, serving yourself far off from God, you have no right to take comfort in this word, because it is not for you. It's only for the Lord's people. Because as long as you are a stranger to God, you have every right and good reason to fear. You have Satan to face, and he's not your friend, he's your foe. But you have no defense. You have an angry God to face, whom you have offended by your sin. And you cannot appease him with anything that you do. You have an eternity to face. And how will you do in the swellings of Jordan? With no advocate, with no shield, with no defense. If you're a stranger to God, it will not go well. So this morning, to those of you who honestly know in your own heart that you know nothing of God, go home and ask God to show you your need, and then to show you that he is your shield and your exceeding great reward. Because death is now upon the road, and who knows how close it is. How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Amen.
God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening service. Sunday school will be at Bethany. Tomorrow evening there'll be a prayer meeting, God willing, and Mr. Timothy Parrish will address it if he is well enough to come. Mr. Timothy Barker is expected to preach on Wednesday evening and Mr. Izzard next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is 915. Why, O my soul, art thou dismayed? Why in these tents of sorrow grown? On what have thy fond hopes been stayed? Still seeking rest, but finding none. Hymn 915.
Thank you.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest and be with us all, now and forever. Amen.